Hi everyone, welcome to the Bright and Quirky Child Online Summit. I'm your host and licensed marriage and family therapist, Debbie Steinberg-Kuntz. And now we're in our Insight and Aha's recap sessions, day two of six. And we've got Dr. Melanie Hayes with us. Melanie is a 2E expert. She holds a doctorate in educational leadership and a master's in gifted education. She has over 15 years experience teaching, mentoring, coaching, assessing, and advocating for 2E children. She's also founder of the Big Minds Unschool, which I'm excited to learn about. So Melanie, welcome to the summit and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, I'm happy to be here.
All right, great. So I thought day two was absolutely fascinating. Our theme was managing anger, intensity, and behavior. And we heard from Dr. Laura Markham, Tina Payne Bryson, and Ross Green. And I love how so many of their themes dovetailed with each other. Maybe we can start with Dr. Laura. What stood out for you?
So one of the things, I love that you say that they dovetailed, because I felt like sort of an overarching theme for all three of these wonderful experts was the theme of empathy and about comforting and soothing your child when they're in times of distress. So I was really excited to listen to the speakers. You had an all-star cast for sure. Dr. Markham, I thought it was really important that she talked about how the child's limbic system is tied to the parent's limbic system. So if the parent can stay calm and regulated, that actually helps build those synaptic connections for the child to learn those skills and be more adept at it as time goes on.
She also talked about the amygdala hijack. And I think when your child is having a meltdown, it is so easy for us to go into meltdown too. And then I think it's helpful for me if I could think, all right, I have to go into customer service agent mode. Like, that must be so upsetting. That must be so hard. It does not come naturally. It's not how I was parented. So it takes a lot of practice for that to feel natural.
I think it gets easier with practice for sure. And then your kids get more practice. So it's like anything with parenting. The first few times you do it, you know, you're going to get a lot of pushback and they're going to make life pretty tough. But if you can stick with it, eventually they become more regulated and you can sort of help each other become regulated.
And I think this whole idea of the parent doing more work than the child is not so intuitive. I think a lot of parents, and you probably see this, come into my office with, you know, help my child. They just melt down at the littlest thing and help them with self-regulation. But so much of it is us regulating ourselves.
Right. And, you know, not to blame parents because they're doing the best they can. But, you know, especially in my line of work, I see most of my parents are also 2E. Or at least one parent in the group is 2E. And so they may be experiencing trauma and all sorts of things that get reopened every time their kid has a meltdown like this, because they've never actually learned how to regulate themselves. And so I try really hard. You know, at Big Minds, we say we have three gears that have to rotate together. One is the child gear, one is the parent gear, and one is my teacher gear. So we have to help the parents learn how to be regulated as well. That's one of the main tenets of our program is we teach social-emotional skills because most of our kids are not great at this. And so we do try to have parent education. It's usually one-on-one, but we do occasionally have parent education nights. But we try really hard to have an open feedback loop so that the parents can come to us whenever they're struggling and we can help them. My assistant director said she had a parent come by the other day to watch how we worked with her kid because she's like, he's not doing that at school. So what are you doing? You want to say to her, well, we're staying calm. We're being, you know, super calm no matter what happens.
And some kids save that special little, you know, unfiltered behavior for us at home. But I think, you know, if we're not staying calm, that's definitely action number one.
Right. And I think, too, you know, one of the things that we designed Big Minds for was so these kids don't have to hold it together all day and then come home and explode, right? We want them to be in an environment where they're able to be calm and relaxed through most of their day, and then they don't have to go home and have those kind of days. A lot of it is situational. You know, and parents, when your kid's in a traditional environment that's triggering them all over the place, you can't blame the parent if the kid comes home and freaks out.
Which kind of brings us to Tina Payne Bryson and her idea of green zone, red zone, and blue zone. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I really liked one of the things that she said was you can help wire your child's brain to be more adaptive, reflective, flexible, and collaborative and in using those zones. So I think if parents really think about, wow, you know, if I'm staying calm and I'm staying in the green zone and I'm keeping my child from going into the red zone or the blue zone, I'm actually helping them grow those capacities in their brain. And that's kind of what we said earlier, that the more you do it, the more your kid can do it. And pretty soon you're helping each other regulate rather than it being sort of this one-sided seesaw with the parent doing all the work and the kid benefiting, which, you know, that is parenting. But at some point when your 12-year-old is pitching a hissy fit, you want to say, you know, you should be over this by now.
Right.
You know, if you follow Tina's, all of the things that she laid out in her talk, your kids will get there. And you will be able to co-regulate together.
Yeah, and this really pulls in from day one that we just recapped with Julie Skolnick that, you know, your kids might be developing asynchronously where they seem, you know, so articulate and so bright, and yet their emotional self-regulation is lagging a little bit. And in Austina's talk, she talked about how that executive function development can take a little bit longer in our bright and quirky kids.
Right. I mean, I tell all of my parents that they need to take the long view with 2E children, that they need to look at that asynchronous development. Your child might be intellectually an adult, but, you know, say they're 15, they might actually be more like an 11-year-old socially and emotionally. And I think that's especially helpful when parents, when their kids get closer to high school graduation age, when everybody else's neurotypical kids are launching and going off to college and your kid's not capable of doing that. If you give them that little bit of grace and say, you know, I think my kid's more like a 14-year-old than a 18-year-old, then you have a better way of viewing how they're looking at the world and understanding they're just not ready. And for 2E people, a lot of them don't actually launch fully into adulthood till mid to late 20s.
So yeah, I mean, that's a really good point that you might need to reset your expectations in terms of timeline.
So that reminds me of what Dr. Green said about the child not being able to meet expectations and then having bad behavior because the expectations placed on them are not something they're actually capable of doing. And I think if parents and teachers really looked at that and said, you know, what is this child capable of doing? But I think for some parents, that's hard. You know, they don't want to admit that their child has a disability of any kind.
Very hard, very hard. Yeah, I love how Ross Green said, you know, what we're looking for is lagging skills and unsolved problems. And an unsolved problem is usually an unmet expectation.
One of the most impactful things he said is that the child is the most reliable source of what they need. And we often don't go to them and try to ask what's going on. And I liked his drilling questions that you can really use to find out what's going on below the behavior. And I also like that he said, children will do well if they can.
Yeah, and another thing I love that Dr. Green said was, as the parent, it's not your job to figure it out, it's your job to find out. Yes. And I think all three of these speakers really point to the idea that we need to create a partnership with the child. So what do you see at your school with parents coming in? Do you find that these ideas are new to them? Or most of them are doing them, or they just need to practice them. Where are most parents at?
Yeah, the sad thing is for a lot of parents that come to me, we're the last stop on the train. They've tried everything else and nothing else worked. And I think if you just come to us first, you know, it would prevent a lot of these problems. But they come in and they don't know what to do. And they often don't understand how damaging the traditional model has been for their children. Yeah. They're really frustrated. They're embarrassed. They feel like they're being blamed for what's going on. I mean, the world is a hard place for parents of 2E kids too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just that the 2E kids are struggling in the world. Their parents are actually struggling in the world. And so we try to help them understand that there are ways to help their children thrive and that we're going to do our part at school and that they can do their part at home. And we usually steer them to things like we were talking about. And now I'm so glad I can steer them to bright and quirky. Just watch these videos.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I think that there's a big parent education piece because they don't know. And oftentimes when they go to professionals, professionals don't know either. So it's exciting for me, you know, I've been doing this for about 20 years, and it's exciting for me to see there's so many more professionals now like yourself who really understand 2E and can really be the Sherpa for these parents. Because what do you do when you go to a professional and they're like, well, I've never seen anything like this before. And the parent's like, but I need you to be the professional, you know.
I think that's one of the reasons this summit went so viral all over the globe, that this is such a niche thing of having a highly capable child who also has challenges in certain areas. So many professionals and educators have never heard of it.
Right. And I've tried really hard to do professional outreach and professional development for teachers, but in the public school system, there's not really an awareness of it. I've talked to many superintendents that say, well, we don't really think we have any 2E kids, or not enough to justify this. And I'm like, probably most of your behavior problems are 2E kids, you know?
Right. So when you get a child, I think some of the hardest cases that I see are the kids who are just having sort of meltdown after meltdown in the traditional classroom. And the teacher's like, okay, go to the principal's office again. How do you guys handle that in a school that's more tailored to a 2E child?
Right. So I love that Ross Green calls them the unlucky ones.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that was a great term. We get a lot of unlucky ones. I mean, we do get some parents that are proactive and they come to us when they start to see things go south, so that their kids are not that involved. But what we try to do for the unlucky ones is, the first thing we do is we help them understand how their brain works and why they're having these meltdowns. But the other really important thing that we do is, it's an attachment-based school. So that empathy piece that all three of the speakers were talking about, that's key for what we do. Because if you build this empathetic and loving bond with the students and help them build it with the other students in the school, then they'll walk through fire with you when things get tough. Mm-hmm. You're able to work with them and help them co-regulate when they start to melt down. So we always say that the first few months of school, it's not about academics. It's about the establishing the relationships. And actually, you know, for 2E kids, the academics are kind of secondary anyway. And that's a thing we have to help parents understand, that yes, we will help your child work to their strengths because we're a strengths-based model. Which is another thing that's important, because these kids, every time they've gone into the school system, they've been told they're a failure. Their parents have been told they're a failure. And so that's a really hard thing to develop self-efficacy when you feel like every day the message you're getting is somehow I'm not able to do this work. So we really work on helping them work towards their strengths, the thing that they're probably going to go out in the world and do anyway. So we want them to stay connected to that. We really work to teach them how to be socially adept and emotionally regulated. And that's done through actually teaching them, like I say, about how their brain works. We're really open at Big Minds. Like, we know everybody there has disabilities. Everybody there has stuff we're working on. And so when a child does have a meltdown, they're not going to get made fun of or bullied. They're going to get supported. I heard a little guy say the other day, I see you're having a hard time today. We'll just be really kind to you today.
Oh.
So there's an acknowledgement that we acknowledge all emotions, which I think is really important, because our speakers all talked about that on day two as well, that you have to allow yourself to feel those emotions. But what you don't want to do is to make someone else suffer because of your emotions. So they can feel the emotions, but then we'll show you what to do with those big emotions you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just a perfect recap for day two, to really understand how the brain works, understand how to get back to calm. And, you know, I wish we had time to reiterate all the amazing strategies these three speakers had. So I definitely suggest that everybody go back in and dive in and check out these three speakers. They covered a lot of territory in one day.
It was like a parenting capsule in one day. Like, if you can't do anything else, do what these three speakers do and you'll be fine.
yeah, exactly. So Melanie, if people want to find out more about you, are you still doing private consultations, or are you mainly involved with the school right now?
I do both. My school focus, my board has now asked me to do focus on outreach and education. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be doing many more conferences and things in the next few years, but people can go on my website. It's Dr. M. Hayes, com, I think, and it has all my blogs I've written and the contact information there. My book, We Tried Normal, it can be purchased through Kindle on Amazon, which if you're a new parent and you want to read about that you're not alone, you can read that. It's also free on Medium, chapter by chapter, if people want to get it for free, I put it out there. And then if you want to see what's happening at Big Minds, it's bigmindsunschool.org.
Wonderful. I love that title. That's a great title. All right, wonderful, Melanie. Thank you so much for helping us recap day two, and we look forward to staying in touch.
Okay, my pleasure. And thanks for doing this wonderful conference.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.